Okay. Welcome. What's the order of things? Welcome to the weekly Chase call. Today is interop day, which means we'll go through the traceability interop pull requests, then on to trace vocab pull requests, and then back to interop issues. Except we might skip those because there aren't that many, but let's take that as it comes. Remember to sign the contributor agreement, which is on the GitHub, if you are planning or have made substantial contributions. We need a scribe. I'll be happy to talk us through this, but we do need a scribe to take notes while we go along. Does anyone want to volunteer? Oh, there is.
Yeah, I'm happy to scribe.
That's awesome.
Looks like there might be a transcriber, though.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I need to turn that off. Yep, that's right. That's what confused me. Stop subtitles. There we go. Thank you so much, Russell. Much appreciated. There we go. Cool. So, let's see. Yeah, would anyone have any announcements that you would want to make before we jump into pull requests? No? Well, I guess our first pull request is sort of an announcement. So we are going to go here, and there's a single one, which is trace interop 471, which is from Chris, and it's about GS1 US implementation on our test suite. Chris is not on the call, but Paul, you are here. So would you like to talk through this? If not, I'll... Oh, Chris, there you are. Go ahead. Sorry. There you are. Sorry about that, Chris. Okay.
Chris, you're muted if you...
Yeah, well, I can kind of interpret what this is. This is introducing GS1 US to participate on our, is it both suites or is it, it looks like it is certainly interop, conformance run. It seems like it is the interop tests. Is that correct?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So this, I left this in place as a PR so that folks could see what's involved in adding a new implementation into the test suites. So this modifies both the conformance and the interop tests by adding a new actor for GS1 US. So in some scenarios, for example, the first file modified the conformance run, it's simply adding the actor. In other scenarios where we have a sort of interoperability test matrix, it requires adding each of the different pairings. So it's a little bit more involved. And as we get more implementations, that will start to get out of hand. So at some point, we'll need to modify how we do that. Perhaps we can auto-generate those. I don't know. And then it also modifies the individual the regression files. They're not actually regressions. They're named that. I actually don't know why. But those can be run as one-off tests if you're not running the full interoperability suite. So this serves as both an intro for what needs to be changed and a guide for anyone who does this later. Hopefully someone on Transmute's side that is not Ori will be available to take this over next time we get a new implementation, but we can discuss at that time.
I'm pretty sure I could pull this off.
Sweet. Yeah. And this, of course, is in addition to processing the encrypted credentials file that GS1 emailed. And the instructions for that are in the README.
Right. Which I've not tried before since you kind of updated that part of the process, but that's awesome. So I just for clarification, this is interrupt, right? It is not, it's not conformance.
It is both. Yeah. The conformance run YAML is the one that runs conformance tests.
Oh, I see. Fantastic. That's great.
So once we merge this, this will run, tonight.
Amazing.
Hey, Nis, sorry I was absent. I was listening. I just couldn't find my window to unmute because I didn't have video running. But yeah, thanks, and it's described well.
Great. Let's see. We have only one approver, which is me. Would anyone please go ahead and add another tick mark on this? Just to follow our own rules, which is we want two approvals before merging. From my side, this looks great and very happy to have another participant. Let's hope that it's the start of something much more.
I hope so too, Nis. And I'm happy to approve it, but being a GS1 person, I don't know if that's appropriate.
It is appropriate if you didn't do the work to approve the work if it meets with your acceptance. Always. You can't approve it if you did the work in GitHub. It won't even let you do that. But it's generally a good idea to leave a review anytime you feel that you support the action of taking the work in, or you think it's a good first step, or always good to leave a comment.
Plenty of approvals coming in. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and merge it now. Fantastic. And that was the one pull request we had on Trace Interop. So we're going to switch sides now and go to Trace Vocab here. And the first one is mine. That's 634. What this is adding to my very big pull request from last week. Adding the application credential to request the certificates that I added last time. So it is one to be used for all the new e-commerce participants. I see an approval from Mahmoud and Ben. Would anyone object to this new certificate? That's great. I'll go ahead and merge. The next one is also from me, and it is starting to describe your workflows, this is just one. I'm playing around with a format for defining workflows that reference the credentials that are in play. And this specifically is to make that request, the application that I just described before. See, there is two approvals as well. Any objections to merging 636? Great. I will merge. The next one is from Russell, and it is 638. This one here. Russell, would you care to introduce?
Yeah, sure. So this is a certification linking organic. This links organic certifications to products. So it creates a record of certification for product and also allows that product's organic status to be revoked by certain authorized parties.
I'm am I blind here? Is this actually a verifiable credential, or is it just the RDF class?
This should be a schema like any other. Is something odd?
You wouldn't, it's not a verifiable credential type. So it looks like it's It could be.
Yeah. You're saying it maybe should be a credential rather than a common, rather than in common?
Yeah. I mean, you could, it looks like something you would add to as the subject to a verifiable credential.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I should have caught this earlier, but the reason I just looked at it was you said revocable. And what these are things that we're discussing these days. You could make revocable, like you could require that. And that's what I was looking for. And then I was like, hey, there's none of that here. So you might want to, I mean, I think we should merge this, but you would probably want to put it into a verifiable credential.
Okay. Are you suggesting that we create a credential based on this schema, or are you suggesting we replace the schema, this common schema, with a credential that does the same thing?
That's up to you, but we have many examples of putting this sort of thing into the credential subject. That would probably be my recommendation.
Okay.
But then then we can debate whether certification is a good term. We used to use certificate as our credential, so you might. But that's kind of up to you.
I think we changed certificate to credential consistently for all credential types. That's all types that are an RDF class that represents a verifiable credential, where the credential name with the credential prefix sits next to the word verifiable credential in the RDF type.
Yes. We used to use the word certificate. This is certification. So I'm just pondering if organic product certification credential is suddenly a bit long, and it's probably not what you would want it to be named.
I'm very open to suggestion. I think I would lean towards, like, my impulse was that this could be, if this was a schema in common, it could be made into credential like any other schema in common. Like any of the inspections, this references organic certificate, which is actually, it's not a credential. It is just another schema name. Are there any objections to just, I mean, would you suggest, I can run it by Mike, I guess, because it was Mike's intention to create this, but, do you have an issue with just leaving this as a common schema so that it could be made into credential?
I don't. I mean, I think it's a bit confusing to have the word certificate in there, that's not the end of the world. And with good descriptions next to the type, I think you can remove any of the dangers of having the term be misinterpreted.
Sure. Maybe, let's see, could that be organic certification? Would that be more straightforward? Well, no, that is currently the name. There's another PR that I'm hoping to make, that I'm intending to make after this. Organic certificate to organic certification. So I'll make a note to change this as well when I do that.
All right.
I put that off just because it would conflict with some of the PRs I've got for this session.
Okay. I think we're fine to push ahead with a merger. It should do, you do want to do that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's just see. We have two approvals. So I'll just merge this. Generally around here, we are in favor of incremental updates, and we allow each other to learn as we go along. Cool. Is that the next one? Is gap location certification? That is this one, 639. Russell, that's you again.
Yeah. So this is a very similar, Oh, yeah, that's a good idea to spell gap out in the description. This is a very similar schema, but it links locations with gap certifications. Well, the closest to a gap certification is a gap inspection, which does have the results of the audit. So this is a revocable link between an inspected location and its gap certification.
All right. So, I mean, exact same comment as before. Would you want this to be a credential as well? But let's not repeat that conversation.
Yeah, sure.
You want to go ahead and merge? You can always add. I approved, although I made my comment. Just let's try and spell things out.
Yeah. I can't really do this describing. I can add that description in a later PR. There's probably a few other descriptions that should be updated.
That's perfectly fine by me. Let's see, we have two approvals. So I'll just go ahead and merge. Any objections? Good. Let's see what's next. Russell, one more. 641. Remove entity from agriculture schema.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
This is just implementing that change we've been making to the schemas, mostly the inspection schemas.
Thank you.
Pretty love straightforward.
Pretty good. The two approvals, three approvals. Great. Any objections to merging? Fantastic. Thanks, Jim. Put the tick mark. One more from you, Russell 642.
This is creating yet another PPQ form. This one fairly straightforward, just an application for a compliance agreement that would let. I think the agreement is for the party how they would dispose of some waste product. So it's a description of the application.
That's good to me. And you're spelling out the acronyms.
Yeah.
Cool. Any objections to merging 642? Merge. Next one is 643. Ben, that's yours. You still with us? Yeah.
This is a change to the bill plating certificate. And the issue that we're having is our examples are not spanning the entire scope of the tooling that's defined. So previously we've been making changes to organization rather than pulling in the entire organization schema, only pulling the attributes from full organization that are required for a specific form. This is kind of continuing the same process where this is making sure that our form example uses location and that matches the schema more closely.
That's great. Any objection? We have enough approvals. Any objections to merging? Bins 643. Cool. It's merged. And already now, I know that the next two will be quite similar to this one. Ben, do you want to repeat what you just said regarding commercial invoice?
There's a change request from Mahmood, so right. I think we might need to address that a little bit. I don't know if he's on it. Doesn't look like he's on the call. But this is a similar change for commercial invoice, and so our commercial invoice only has a buyer and a seller, and defines exporter, importer, ship from party, ship to party, provider. These are things that could be included in different types of invoice, but for the standard from Russian invoice, you expect to have a buyer and seller. And so this narrows the scope of the schema to fit the specific example and to reduce optionality rather than having one schema that does everything, to have more specific. This is JSON that's replacing a specific form and having closer values to what you would expect.
Yeah.
This is Jim. So what you're saying is, just if I understood it correctly, if we get into a cross-border movement, these additional terms would be provided in this schema, the exporter, importer, ship from party, or would they be collected from different, from the bill of lading schema, or what are we thinking there?
Oh, it's a commercial invoice like any other. What we're doing is, up until recently, we pieced together all our credential schemas from the full set of building blocks, the RDF class building blocks, if you will. That created so what our schemas reflect now are extremely big schemas that have all the different permutations that the building blocks kind of add up to. So what Ben is doing here, and also the one we just merged, and the next one, these are recent changes that we've started doing, is to narrow it down. So sometimes you don't need all of that. So what we're doing here, what Ben is doing here, is he picks out these specific attributes from those building blocks that go on the commercial invoice. There's a way to narrow down and make it specific to what a commercial invoice should contain.
Yeah, yep. So it is a specific name. So a commercial invoice is truly the commercial invoice between the buyer and the seller.
Yes, that's correct.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
And that is not, like, that's the same whether you do it from the YAML schema or you define it in line. It's just you have tighter control. So it's really just a maturation of our schemas here. That's what this reflects. It sure is a shame that Mahmoud is not here to kind of participate in that discussion. I mean, Vivian, I know this is kind of unfair to ask, but did he give you any, like, indications on this? I would very much like to merge this, but that's kind of hard right now.
Negative.
Come again, sorry?
No, he doesn't give me anything.
Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you. How do we deal with this? Let me ask this. What I just explained and Ben explained, does that make sense? Would you have any, like, having understood the intention of this, would anyone object to otherwise merge this, assuming we can convince Mahmoud? And where I'm going with that is, we can have that discussion offline, and I would really like to push these through, this one and the next one. Would anyone object to that, or would you insist that we bring this up next week? I will take that as we can have the discussion, and if Mahmoud is on board, then I'll go ahead. We can merge these two in between now and next week. Thank you for that. Thanks, Chris. Just make a comment to that effect. And on the next one, which is on nil test report. Oops. The next one is 645, and it's the exact same story. I can elaborate a little bit. We are picking out the parts for it. So this is a really good example. I know this because I just did it today. The mill test report had requirements way down to the entire commercial, the entire invoice was part of the mill test report. And if anyone has ever seen a mill test report, it does not include everything that an invoice has. So this is, you know, taking that stuff out and focusing on the important part. So I think that's a really good example. But it's the same situation Mahmoud is requesting or asking about it. So I'll just make the same comment that I copied over, and I assume that you guys are okay with us pushing forward if Mahmoud is okay with it. And I'm taking that as silent agreement. So thank you. Good. That was a very busy set of pull requests, which is great. Thank you so much. Now let's switch to issues. And we've discussed not doing trace interop issues every time because there are so few. We have 14 open. Let me just think. Least recently updated. How recent is that? Well, it's a month ago. Ben, what are you saying there?
Oh, I was just pointing out isn't the revocation issue on trace interop, is that important enough for discussion or?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was an interrupt, Ryan. It must be. No.
Oh, never mind.
No, it's not. It must. I know which one you mean. Was that on vocab? Look, let's stick to, if you can find it, would you mind dropping a link to it, Ben? We can definitely pick it up. But let's, you know,
see, issue 468.
Oh, yes. There it is. Yeah, we can talk about that. So we're actually taking it in the reverse order, the most recently updated. Chris, I see you've recently commented. I will say from our side, it's something we are discussing. And the reason we just haven't gotten to the end of our discussions, which is why we haven't been very verbal on this just yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, since last week, Manu has had a chance to weigh in on this, and he provided some good links to discussion that they had regarding this issue in the VCA API work item call. And I think those are worth reviewing if you're not familiar with them already. You know, unless I misunderstand them, they're suggesting that there are cases where an issuer would accept an ID provided by a requester and then use that. And I am very much against that for several reasons that I outline in my latest comment.
I'm not. I think this could work. It only has to be unique for that issuer.
I agree. But it is not possible for a requester to guarantee that they're providing IDs that are unique for the issuer because the issuer issues for many requesters.
So I think it's possible I'm mishearing, but you both might be talking about different endpoints. Maybe I'm wrong, but the inbound part of creating a revocable credential has constraints the client is responsible for, but that they cannot assure, and constraints the server is responsible for that they can assure. And then on the update status endpoint, you can either refer to something by an identifier that's in the credential or by a reference to a pointer, you know, on the server that, that you know that issuer uses to identify that credential. The latter one is easier to address because you can uniquely name the parameters and you can make one parameter's name, you know, actual verifiable credential ID and reference to a verifiable credential that I know this issuer is holding, right? So that's going to uniquely disambiguate the update status part. But the issuance part is a little bit trickier. And I think agree with what you were saying, Chris, like the caller has no idea what which parts of the full namespace might be reserved. And therefore, it's pretty dangerous to let the caller pick identifiers in that way. It's definitely a thing we've seen the VC API do, but I don't know that it's super good idea. Is that the line of what you're saying?
Yes, I'm on board 100% with that. Except for you suggest, I believe you suggested that in the update endpoint, someone who calls that endpoint could provide a piece of identification that's inside the credential, and the implementation would be then be able to look up the credential. And I don't think that's the case, because the only way they can look up the credential is with the unique ID that they generated when they issued it.
Well, you're not guaranteed uniqueness on that identifier that would be sent in that way. Potentially, it depends on the behavior of the issuer. Like if the issuer is assigning a unique identifier and then they're using that unique identifier consistently, you'd get that property, but it would come with additional constraints. We, in our profile, have made IDs mandatory in credentials, I believe. So if we added the additional constraint that the identifiers have to be present and they have to be created from randomness at the time of issuance and the client cannot send them, then it follows that you could pass that identifier back to the update endpoint. But that's a whole bunch of extra constraints that we would have to define in order to make that operation safe.
Right.
And so it's back to the, you know, where are we going to add additional normative profiling guidance to make revocation safe?
Yes, with those caveats, I agree with your statement. And I especially agree with the increased complexity that you pointed out.
We have a section of the document today where we call out extensions to the standard, and today it says ID must be present.
Yeah, that actually is not correctly reflected in the current Trace Interop Open API schema. I have it on a note to make a ticket to fix that.
You should file that issue now before you forget.
I wrote it down.
we should, just so that we don't end up chasing our tails, by default, we should treat the respec document as the source of truth and negotiate over clear expression of intention in that document. And then we should treat open API specification and tests and other things as secondary to that primary source of truth. And that lets us like very clearly focus on suggested changes that would alter those other things without having it become a circular argument.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think based on that, I mean, I think we're suggesting changes to that, extensions to the standards part of the spec. If we're saying the ID is mandatory to be there, do we want to just say that there's some mandatory process for generating that ID that we all agree to, and then this problem gets much simpler?
Go ahead. Sorry, Ness. I think that specifying the process for generating the ID is not something we need to get into. I think that we simply, you know, the issuer that generates, that issues these VCs and NVPs, needs to be able to use that ID later when someone presents it and find the certificate that they, the credential that they issued. Right. So if someone says, hey, okay, issue me a VC, the issuer says, all right, I'm issuing the VC and this is the ID I generated. When that person comes back later and hits like this, the update endpoint and presents that ID, the issuer then needs to be able to find the VC that they issued. How that happens, I don't think we need to specify that in this.
Well, I think you probably do because there's an inference in there. You're assuming that the issuer generates a new unique ID every time they do issuance. The current document says the ID has to be present. It doesn't say it has to be unique for the issuer. The issuer could just do URL example 123 according to the spec today for every credential, and it would conform with the normative requirements. So unless you want that to be not legal, we do need to describe maybe in a bit more detail why this, what the structure of this required field needs to be. Because otherwise they could do everything that you've said, but they could put a constant value in there for every credential they issue. Is that a thing that we want? I don't think so.
Let me just act myself here. What you the two of you are kind of talking your way into is the issuing server decides on the ID, the verifiable credential.id. What are the consequences of that? One is it takes away the ability for the issuing party. Sorry if I'm not using the right nomenclature here, but the requester to set that identifier, and that you may have a good reason to want to set it. So we're taking that feature away from our, you know, in our case, our customers, and they may not be happy about it. The other thing is we are injecting data into the credential during issuance. And I'm always worried whenever we inject stuff, because it kind of feels like, and I've used this analogy in other cases, here's the document, please sign here. And just while you sign it, put the signature on it. Oh, I just make a little correction over here. We should refrain from adding stuff in between we receive the credential and we pass back the verifiable credential. The less we inject in that process, the better. So those are my two concerns on where this is going. I like simplicity, but that's just, yeah, I guess that's the balance. Chris?
I agree with both of you. I'd like to respond to Ori first. Yes, I agree that we need to specify some instructions on generating that ID. I misunderstood you and thought you were suggesting that we needed to go to the extent of saying, well, it needs to be a SHA-256 hash of blah, blah, blah. But the fact that it needs to be unique, I think, is worth specifying. And to your point, Nis, I agree 100%. I don't think we should be injecting anything into the credential that was provided before it's signed. And that's why my proposal puts that identifier in some extra metadata that lives at the same level as the credential.
Oh, so it's not verifiable credential.id. That's not what we're talking about.
Well, we were talking about that a little while ago, but my proposal did not have that. Okay. My proposal was a bit different.
So that sounds more like Manu's suggestion then, that you put it in options.
Well, Manu's was a little bit more nuanced. He was suggesting that options credential ID could be provided by the requester. Or right. If it's not present, the issuer could define an ID and inject it into the verifiable credential.
Yeah, it's just moving. It's accomplishing the same thing. It's just moving a client-provided parameter from one object to another, right? And if it's not present, then it's injecting it always.
That's if I understand it correctly, that's everything right. I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think it's substantially better than the current defined behavior that we have. I think we could do better than that.
I do too.
I mean, I think if we've already gone to the point of saying this optional field is required, then it makes sense to exploit that value. But that only really works when you know you're processing credentials that conform to this profile. And I think we have general agreement that interoperability API is not meant to process credentials that don't conform to this profile. So that to me implies that we should be using the ID we know is going to be present in endpoints that we know can use it. Because you know it's there, you know it's going to be unique. Why are you not using it?
Yeah.
But Ori doesn't, I mean, when you say you know it's there, like it's there in the VC, right? Because it was, well, we don't know how it got there, but we know it's there because it's required. I think that the issue here is how it gets there, right?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was thinking more about the update endpoint. So if you know it's there, the update endpoint discussion becomes trivial because you know it's there and you can use that ID in the update endpoint. On the creation endpoint, you have basically two options. You can throw a 400 error if the client provides a value and assign one, or you can overwrite whatever the client does. I don't think you should do the latter. I think you should throw a 400 error if the client tries to set a value that the server reserves the right to set.
Right. But then we run directly into the issue that Nis pointed out where, A, we're removing the optionality for the requester to provide an ID that they perhaps need to do because they're referencing something in their own system. And B, we're injecting data into the credential before we sign it. So the credential we sign is not what they gave us.
Right, but we're going to do that anyway because we're adding the proof for them. So we're already going to be injecting important data into the credential. I hear you. So let's just pull the thread a bit further and provide the final counter argument. The client can set the ID and they have to. It's a 400 error if they don't. But that ID isn't going to be used by anything in the API ever. And the API is going to assign a new ID to that credential, and that new ID is what's going to be used in the update endpoints. Is that the other option?
I believe that's the other option.
Paul, you queued?
Yeah, I just had a comment here that I think that what I'm trying to understand the problem is that you need some reference to this thing to call this update method. And so you need some unique way to reference this object. Can't we just pass the whole object back to the update method and just say, here's the whole object, and however the issuer decided to make it seem unique enough to determine it, it's up to them.
You could, but then we'd have to negotiate that update with everybody else. Right now, the endpoint takes an ID and not an object.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, my feeling on the ID is it blurries what this issuance really is. Is this issuance, here, I want you to sign this document, or is the creation of this really a negotiation about what you're doing? And I think until that's really made clear, this decision's hard to come up with, right? Because people have different opinions.
Very insightful. Yeah, I agree. So I think what we should do is clarify the options in an issue, make it clear what we're choosing between, and then basically do some polling to figure out which option has strength. And once that polling is clear, open a pull request to add normative text to that section of the standard that describes the thing with the strength.
Yeah. I can certainly try and summarize some of this during tomorrow. Any additional input on this? If not, let's move on. All right. Thanks a lot for the input. Let's see. Back on interrupt issues, and we... Let me ask, are there any, like, Chris, you had some other recent, like, newer issues, like 469 that we also discussed last week. I kind of feel like we would want to cover those. Otherwise, we start over and we're kind of towards the end of this.
Yeah, I think the only ones that are worth discussing on this call are the ones that are tagged discussion. The rest of them are just waiting for work, I believe.
There you go. That's a good filter. Great.
And I added some comments to 469, the one you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had time to read them, but they were in response to one of your comments. We can start there if you want.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is about making the verifications array required in a response to a verification request. And the impetus for this is that simply saying it fails is not very helpful, because you don't know why and you can't fix it. So the thought was we would make that required. But then that begged the question, does it need to be required for both successes and failures? And, furthermore, if it does, you know, how do we define this in a way that makes it, both helpful and testable?
Yeah. And indeed, the warnings and errors, that's what we took out. I don't know how that got in here. So
yeah, the checks and the warnings and the errors. I think that's old stuff.
I wasn't sure
if you had meant to put that in there.
No, that's my bad. That's from VC API, and we used to have it like that. Sorry about that. Confusing thing.
Yeah, so then the rest of my comment was focused on the verifications array and, you know, what are some example use cases where it would be helpful to have all of the ones that have passed? You know, my thought was that if you pass verification, then it implies that you just passed all of the verifications and there wasn't really a good use case for enumerating those, except maybe testing.
But isn't it nice to know what you passed? That was kind of my main point. That you want to see the positive verifications. That's what I meant.
That wouldn't be one of my use cases. I don't know that I would care about that. But if I failed, I would certainly want to know which test I failed.
Yeah. It makes a difference if, like, it hasn't run out. What's the term? In this example I made, you only make two tests, but you could also have an expiration and that also verified. That does say something. That's kind of my point. I'm not going to die on this hill by no means, but it just seems logical to me to include the same whether you pass or fail. Please, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd had a project with a customer providing an API, which was basically a library in this case, to return a verification result. And the customer even went so far to say, I just want a black box that gives me a green or red check mark. And as soon as we delivered that, the next thing they asked was for a list of what we actually did, not just what succeeded or failed, but a list of the tests that we actually did. And so it was a real message in my mind that even if people are saying they want something really simple, having that verification data is useful.
I think the next step here would be we need to define very specifically what the options are for the title enum. And we need a PR to make sure that those are there and they agree with the examples. I think I put in an issue that the examples don't agree with the spec right now. And I think that's it. I mean, let's see. So a list of objects that should be testable, right? Because can we put in the open API schema that a list of objects must be unique?
A list of options. Is that any of?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know. I think it needs to be investigated whether or not we can do that for sure.
Yeah, possibly too soon. It would be an enum of verification titles, right?
For sure.
And Paul, if you wouldn't mind adding your comment on the ticket, that would be great. Not because you were kind of on my side, and I will make it very clear there's no sides here, but just so we have more voices. Please, Chris.
Sorry, having all the use cases will be very helpful.
Yeah. And the anecdote there is very, like, I recognize that from my past.
Yep, I'll add it.
Great. Chris, I don't think I understood what you asked about the open API. How to add what? What was it?
Yeah, one of my concerns is writing the tests for this. And I was kind of thinking out loud whether or not, okay, so verifications is an array of objects that has a status that's an anum, either good or bad, and a title that's an anum with a list of titles, optional description. And my only thought was, can we make sure that array is unique? And I think we can. There's a keyword for that. So I was just thinking out loud.
Cool. I think we have decided to leave 5 minutes in the end for the volunteer to do the minutes. So let's wrap this up now. These were good discussions on the important issues. Before you all disappear, would anyone like to volunteer to do the minute process?
I'm happy to do the minutes.
That's great.
And we also need a volunteer for agenda and running the meeting next week.
Yeah. Did you see? I was such a good citizen. Did you get my email?
I did. I saw that.
Yeah. I would also, then why don't I take next week as well? That's fine.
Great.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. Right. Let's wrap it up. Great contributions and a great crowd. So I'll see you next week.
Thanks. Don't forget to kick everyone and stop.
I will. Yep. You got it. Bye.
Thank you.